You may have noticed that in Buddhism and the study of the Dharma, there is no mention of God. The word God doesn't appear in any of the scriptures of the Buddha's teachings. I've often wondered about that. Because there is in the practice of Dharma and the study of the Buddha's teachings, there is a sense of divinity, something, a power beyond the human ego. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, I sometimes lived with my German grandparents on a farm. They had a farm that they lived from in the countryside, upstate New York. And they had come to this country in their early 20s, late teens. I think they had met on the boat coming over, actually. They still spoke German in the house. I have many memories of awakening early in the morning and listening to their conversations in German as my grandfather returned from the barns and his chores that he had already been doing at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, they were farmers. They were very simple, salt of the earth kind of people. I loved being there a lot, and for many reasons, but perhaps the main reason was that I had time to be with my grandmother. She was remarkable. Everyone should have in their life a grandmother like this. She wore her hair in a long braid that she then coiled around the top of her head in a bun. And at night, when it came time for me to go to bed, I slept on a couch in their room, their bedroom. She would take down her braid and comb out her hair, and would kneel with me, the two of us together, at the side of the bed. And she taught me, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. She taught that to me, and we said it together every night. that conversation with our Father stayed in my mind. I continued to speak to that our Father continuously in my mind. I was a troubled, very sensitive young boy, and I soon learned to call for him as Lord in my mind. Lord, please hear me. And I would pray a lot. Asking for protection, asking for my family to be cared for, asking to be happy, asking for a pony, asking, you know, talking to Lord, my Lord. And that was very dominant in my mind as I grew into my teenage years and early 20s. There was a pretty constant conversation with the Lord, introduced there by my grandmother with great love and undeniable caring. I received her love as the way I received the Lord. And was confirmed in the Lutheran Church and went through the rituals of being a young member of the congregation. As I grew older, of course, I never questioned this conversation, this inner talk. It was very, very normal, very usual for me. And then, in the course of my education and my training as a physician, started training as a surgeon very early in my life. I began to notice, in becoming more and more aware of others, that other people spoke in their minds to something, some power, some other, you know, please help me. Please let me get through this day. Please, God, help me feel better. I don't feel good. Or please, God, bring a happy life for me. Whatever. I became more and more involved in my psychiatric studies and began to study the mind and the self, the ego self. I noticed more often that the people who confided to me about what went on in their minds, and I became the person that people talked to about that sort of thing, I began to see that I wasn't alone in this conversation, that just about everyone I spoke with was talking to somebody in their mind also. Maybe they didn't call him God or Lord, but something. Always the ego self always has an intuition about a power in the mind, in the heart, greater than the self. Something much bigger than me. And the conversations would take place with that mystery. You know. For many people, a constant, like it was for me, conversation inside. I started seeing others in that way. I'd sit in the airport or in the middle of the marketplace and look around and at other people and think, they're talking inside too to something. This inner conversation is going on all over the world. People are speaking in their minds to themselves, to God, to a concept of God, some kind of power. The ego self, I learned, experiences itself in a divided way, either as all-powerful, the controller, the one who decides and makes things happen, or the totally empty, incapable, not sufficient one. And I learned that the conversation occurred between those two people and some power for many, many people. God, does God exist? Was often the question in my mind. Is there? I didn't doubt in childhood. I began to doubt when I studied the mind more and more. And then teachers started coming into my life, several very powerful influences. The first one who had a profound influence on my developing self occurred when I was 30. And he was pretty much, I could describe him as a Zen master. And he never spoke of divinity. He taught me and showed me a lot about how the mind worked internally and a lot about the inner conversation that everyone was having with themselves and with their God. He was very much a Zen teacher, although he resisted and decried any kind of meditation or spiritual practice. He was a German psychoanalyst, full of himself, full of pride and a strong presence of self-worth. And I never spoke with him about any of this. And then there was a woman who came into my life very powerfully, and she had hands that dug into my body and moved the muscles and the tissues around. And her work was to align my physical body with the gravitational pull of the earth. And her name was Ida Rolf. And what she did was so painful that once I screamed, "Jesus Christ!" And she said, "No, I'm just his handmaiden." I've never forgot that. And later in my training, in my life, I became involved with a teaching and a great spiritual master who taught about the Father, spoke about the Father all the time, and he was himself the archetypal Father, long white beard, very handsome, very brilliant speaker, incredibly intelligent and loving. And he taught me that the Father was what he called the Shabad. It was the word he gave, the sound of silence. The inner sound is the Father. That he himself was not the teacher, but the sound of silence, the Shabad, was actually the teacher. And then he connected up that teacher with historical tracings of religion down through the ages, and connected all of them to the idea of the inner power, the oneness out of which everything comes. And I was very much then involved in my mind with conversations with God, but now not so much conversations with a human-like figure, but with the sense of inner presence that came in silence and in meditation. Strong sense of presence that nourished me and carried me through difficult times. Life has never been easy for any of us, nor was it for me. And then I became, through him, very curious about meditation, and I started meditating a lot in my 30s, a lot, hours every day. And in 1974, became into contact and close relationship with young Buddhist Dharma teachers who were just coming into the United States from Thailand and India. And I became very close with them and started going to retreats that they taught, in which my meditation practice was stabilized and my commitment to meditation was formalized, unquestioning. And there were experiences of it felt like the presence of God, something powerful happening. They occurred. And then the experiences became transformative, very transmuting experiences, in which my ordinary life, the consciousness of everyday living, would suddenly burst open, and I would be, what would be happening would be some other mind, some other way of being that was no longer divided into self and other, inside or outside, but a reality that had no center whatsoever. Simply awareness. And it was clear in contemplating those experiences later, there was no God There was no God. God is a concept. My conversations were with my concept of God. And then I started having the experiences that were undeniably not ordinary. There was no need to call them God or to relate to God. I understood that God is now. What I used to think of as divine power was simply everything that happened in present time. God is everywhere. And those changes from ordinary dualistic consciousness to non-dual consciousness, I would look back on those experiences and realize there wasn't any other anything in that experience. There was no separation at all, like there would be a separation in my childhood conversations between me and the Lord. It was still a separation, but that had disappeared. That what I was calling Lord was simply everything that happened, everywhere, always. Not God, now. Now. I've seen in my time in the world that the worship of a concept of God that is not from experience but through some kind of belief system is very harmful to the world. The world is divided into many sections or many understandings about life depending on whose God is at the center of the conversation. Everybody's idea of God changes and differs one from the other. God is truly a concept for this world, except for when those moments come, whether they're induced through a meditation or whether they come through accident or whether they come through sickness, tragedy, those moments come when ordinary separation between me and anything else, between the ego self and other, in this sense that I'm speaking of, the other being the concept of God, when that disappears, there's an entirely different understanding of life and human mind, human beings, and presence on this earth. There is very clearly no separation between this me mind and other. There is no such thing. That is the delusion of ordinary consciousness. That, I realized, is the ignorance that the Buddha talked about when he spoke of the fact that the cause of suffering is ignorance about who we are, who we are actually, what we are. There is no God in the Buddhist teachings because there was no need for him to speak about that concept. He was talking about coming into the experience of what you pray to. God is self. Also, There is no separation between the ego self and God, between me and you and God. God is everywhere, all the time, everywhere. And everyone that I've ever spoken of who has returned from experiences that I'm speaking about has had the same reaction that I always have had, the same reaction, a very deeply emotional, profoundly grateful reaction to having been introduced to a world without separation, a world without a center, a world simply awareness of how life is. Everyone that I've spoken with and encountered from the same kind of experience has had the same reaction, gratitude, gratitude, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, for erasing that separation between me and them, me and you, between you and you. It's become very evident to me over the years that the separation is in the mind. It's not a real separation. It's a delusion. The ordinary mind of the common citizen is deluded, and it seems to be that our birthright here is to forget who we are. My spiritual master said our memory of ourselves is taken away at birth here. And I said, why? Our memories are taken away. Why? He said, otherwise you wouldn't do it. No one would do it otherwise. It's the price you pay to live on this beautiful earth and to discover the power of love. You have to go through this dark ignorance about who you are and the separation between you and your God. I think now a lot of that five-year-old boy in the beginning conversation with the Lord that was begun by my grandmother. Everyone should have a grandmother like that. Everyone. Thank you.